Foundational to the spiritual condition of the world that leads up to Armageddon and the end of this world as we know it is a principle known in the Bible as the deceivableness of unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2:1 through 12. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. A few excerpts follow from the God Said, Man Said feature, The Deceivableness of Unrighteousness in 6,000 Years. The Bible defines the very, very last days and its global spiritual mindset and what will be its underpinning. This deadly mindset will be built on what 2 Thessalonians 2:8 through 12 calls the deceivableness of unrighteousness. Abraham, known in God's holy Bible as the father of faith, believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Righteousness is the process of living and doing right as a result of faith. Unrighteousness, obviously, is the 180, living and doing that which is wrong because of unbelief. The deceivableness of unrighteousness, unbelief, is well rooted in the carnal heart. It comes with your original equipment. Eve, the mother of all living in an act of unbelief and disobedience, embraced Satan's words. Adam followed her lead, and both of them died spiritually that very day. Like themselves, they sold their offspring into the satanic camp of unbelief, and they and all their progeny are dead in trespasses and sins. It's like mother like daughter, like father like son. The only way of escape from man's deadly inheritance is the place Jesus Christ calls born again, John 3:3. Here where we repent of our unrighteousness and surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, we die to our old selves and become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Now we are no longer sons and daughters of Adam, bound by the deceivableness of unrighteousness, but in fact sons and daughters of God, where righteousness, active faith, reigns. Are you born again? Would you like to be free from the deceivableness of unrighteousness? Would you like to have your sin and shame obliterated? Would you like to start all over again, born again, with a new, beautiful Father and the promise of eternal life? Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Psalms 19, verse 19, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. God said, Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God said, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. God said, Exodus 20, verse 11, for 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Man said, these doomsday prophets make me laugh. There is no end to this world and certainly no judgment day. Now the record. Welcome to God Said, Man Said feature article 793. It will once again prove the full and glorious inerrancy of God's holy Bible. All of these beautiful features are archived here in text and streaming audio for the edification of the saints and as bait for the fishers of men. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, they grow by one. Thank you for coming. Over you and over your house, we speak Jesus Christ. The deceivableness of unrighteousness grows stronger by the day. Large members of the Christian ranks have been contaminated. Why do so many who call themselves Christians run from the idea of biblical inerrancy and its marvelous precepts and accounts, such as a 6,000-year-old earth? After 6,000 years of skepticism, have the world's wise men proven the Bible in error? Have they proven the Bible in error in its account of the creation of the earth and its universe? Have they debunked Adam and his ribbed wife Eve? Have they refuted Noah's Ark, Abraham and Isaac, Sodom and Gomorrah, Moses and the Red Sea, Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, Samson and Delilah, David and Goliath, and so much more? Have the carnal skeptics disproven the virgin-born Jesus Christ and his miracle ministry, or his crucifixion between two thieves and his resurrection? Have they disproven the Christian ministry given unto the childlike of preaching the gospel and healing the sick, or the powerful ability to cast out devils and speak with new tongues? Have they discredited the marvelous prophecies of the Word of God? The answers are many, resounding no's. In spite of carnaldom's utter failure to discredit God's Word, unbelief still rules in the hearts of the vast majority. The theory of evolution is taught in nearly every public school and university across America, and a number of its proponents want the word theory rescinded. These same zealots are concerned about a recently announced Templeton grant of $8.7 million seeking an evolutionary rethink. A few excerpts follow, which were published in an April 2016 feature of CNS News written by David Klinghoffer. Mr. Klinghoffer is a senior fellow at Discovery Institute in Seattle and the editor of Evolution News and Views. The title of the article is, "Darwinian Evolutionary Theory is Under Siege, Intelligent Design Notwithstanding." Don't let anyone tell you the evolutionary paradigm isn't in serious turmoil. Just in time for DNA Day today, Science Magazine announced on Friday an $8.7 million project by the Templeton Foundation seeking an evolution rethink. I'm trying to think of the last time I heard science reporting on support for a gravity rethink or a heliocentrism rethink. The gist of it. For many evolutionary biologists, nothing gets their dander up faster than proposing that evolution is anything other than the process of natural selection acting on random mutations. Suggestions that something is missing from that picture, for example, that evolution is somehow directed or that genetic changes can't fully explain it, play into the hands of creationists who leap on them as evidence against evolution itself. Oh, those dreaded creationists and evolution deniers. Now wonder, some evolutionary biologists are uneasy with an $8.7 million grant to the United Kingdom, Sweden, and the U.S. researchers for experimental and theoretical work intended to put a revisionist view of evolution, the so-called extended evolutionary synthesis, on a sounder footing. Using a variety of plants, animals, and microbes, the researchers will study the possibility that organisms can influence their own evolution, and that inheritance can take place through routes other than genetic material. Whatever the outcome, the news has yanked Jerry Cohen's chain, he complains in the article. Evolutionary biologists shouldn't accept its money, says Jerry Cohen, an evolutionary biologist at the University of Chicago in Illinois, who has been a persistent critic of the Foundation for Linking Science and Religion. It really slants the way science is done, he told Science. The scope is impressive. 49 researchers from different fields and 22 interconnected projects across 8 institutions. Cohen's dyspeptic reaction gives you an idea of what a huge deal this is. Oh, so you want to dismiss Templeton because its perspective isn't rigidly materialist enough? They aren't the only ones rethinking neo-Darwinism. This coming November, the Royal Society plans a conference on new trends in evolutionary biology, biological, philosophical, and social science perspectives. Despite the subdued title reflecting British understatement perhaps. This is more big news, a gathering of major mainstream voices from the world of biology and other fields to hash out the merits of the call for a third way for evolution. Not classic Darwinism, not intelligent design, but something else. When it comes to hotly contesting the standard theory of evolution, the timing couldn't be better. Today we are celebrating two significant anniversaries, that of the description of the structure of the DNA molecule by Watson and Crick, and the 50th anniversary of the Y-Star Institute Conference on Mathematical Challenges to the Neo-Darwinian Interpretation of Evolution. Intelligent design obviously is one source of the current challenge to Darwinism, but it's only one source. You could erase ID advocates entirely from the battle map, and Darwinian theory would still be under siege. Evolution's smug critics are in denial about that, but it's true. End of quote. Evolutionists seek to malign and silence the Bible's position on creation and anyone in those ranks who stands up against their preferred dogma. The October 2014 issue of AFA Journal published an article relating to the Earth's age titled, "Evolutionists Get Thin-Skinned Over Dinosaur Tissue Discovery." It was referencing a July 30, 2014 article published by FoxNews.com. God Said, Man Said previously published in more detail concerning the subject of triceratops and dinosaur soft tissue finds. The AFA article follows. Scientist Mark Armitage was fired from California State University just days after a science journal published his paper about triceratops soft tissue findings, a challenge to the long-standing assertion that triceratops existed some 68 million years ago and became extinct about 65 million years ago. Armitage argued that those cells would have decayed into nothingness if that were true. His findings support the view that dinosaurs roamed the Earth relatively recently and that the planet is young. Armitage believes the bones are no more than 4,000 years old. According to Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis, researchers in Canada recently found similar evidence, preserved dinosaur skin on a creature evolutionists consider 60 million years old. End of quote. Instead of being created, as the Bible declares, in the very image of God, our origins have been reduced to amoeba dung, a primordial soup, then on to fish, then amphibians, mammals, monkeys, etc. Romans chapter 1, 21 through 23. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. And then verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. The central planks of evolution are time and chance. According to them, given enough time and chance, everything becomes possible, even probable. The following excerpts are from the God Said, Man Said article, Monkeys and Chance. One of Charles Darwin's greatest promoters was a man named Thomas Huxley, an advocate of time and chance. Huxley is reported to have said that six monkeys, poking randomly at typewriters for millions of years, could write all the books in the British Museum. Most people have heard variations of this statement, such as recreating the entire work of Shakespeare, but the concept remains the same. Concerning time and chance and monkeys, author James Perloff weighed in with the following. However, anyone who believes those projections hasn't figured the math. What are the odds of a monkey typing one predetermined nine-letter word such as evolution? Since the alphabet has 26 letters, one must multiply 26 by itself 8 times. We find the monkey would need, on average, more than 5 trillion attempts just to write evolution once correctly. Typing 10 letters per minute, this would take over a million years. If one word is that hard to get, one begins to fathom the difficulties of randomly producing a paragraph, Hamlet, or the components of life. Creation scientist Dwayne Gish puts the monkey matter in perspective. A monkey, typing 100 letters every second, for 5 billion years would not have the remotest chance of typing a particular sentence of 100 letters even once without spelling errors. In fact, if 1 billion planets the size of Earth were covered eyeball to eyeball and elbow to elbow with monkeys, and each monkey was seated at a typewriter requiring about 10 square feet for each monkey of the approximately 10 to the 16th power square feet available on each of the 10 to the 9th power planets, and each monkey typed a string of 100 letters every second for 5 billion years, about 10 to the 17th power seconds, the chances are overwhelming that not one of these monkeys would have typed the sentence correctly. Only 10 to the 41st power tries could be made by all these monkeys in that 5 billion years. There would not be the slightest chance that a single one of the trillion monkeys would have typed a pre-selected sentence of 100 words such as, "The subject of this impact article is the naturalistic design of life on the Earth under assumed primordial conditions without a spelling error even once." Considering an enzyme, then, of 100 amino acids, there would be no possibility whatever that a single molecule could ever have raised by pure chance on the Earth in 5 billion years. Evolutionists, obviously not of the Darwinian ilk, Sir Fred Hoyle and co-author Chandra Wickramasinghe, in their book Evolution from Space, had this to say regarding Huxley's monkeys. "No matter how large the environment one considers, life cannot have had a random beginning. Troops of monkeys thundering away at random on typewriters could not produce the works of Shakespeare for the practical reason that the whole observable universe is not large enough to contain the necessary monkey hordes, the necessary typewriters, and certainly not the waste paper baskets required for the deposition of wrong attempts." The same is true for living material. Again, concerning time and chance, Hoyle and Wickramasinghe report, "The likelihood of the spontaneous formation of life from inanimate matter is one to a number with 40,000 knots after it. It is big enough to bury Darwin and the whole theory of evolution. There was no primeval soup, neither on this planet nor any other, and if the beginnings of life were not random, they must therefore have been the product of purposeful intelligence." End of quote. Keep in mind, 10 to the 50th power, which is the number 10 followed by 50 zeros, is considered effectively impossible. Again, back to Perloff's writings, he is recounting zoologist Harold Coffin's remark concerning the findings of Morowitz. "Morowitz has determined the probability for the origin of the organic precursors for the smallest living entity by random processes. He based his calculations on reaction probabilities, a somewhat different and more accurate approach than most other such computations. The chances for producing the necessary molecules, amino acids, proteins, etc., for a cell one-tenth the size of the smallest known to man is less than 1 in 10 to the 340th million power, which means 10 with 340 million zeros after it. Time and chance simply don't get the creation job done. Why does man insist on something as untenable as evolution? Simply because his rebellious carnal heart is not willing to surrender to the Christ that made him. This is the spirit of rebellion that began for mankind in the Garden of Eden and won't end until doomsday. Jesus Christ identifies this terrible problem in John 3:19 and 20. "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." A final note on monkeys is from a London AP article. "Give six monkeys one computer for a month, and they will make a mess. Researchers at Plymouth University in England reported this week that primates left alone with the computer attacked the machine and failed to produce a single word. They pressed a lot of S's," researcher Mike Phillips said Friday. Obviously, English isn't their first language. A group of faculty and students in the university's media program left a computer in the monkey enclosure at Paignton Zoo in southwest England, home to six Sulawesi-crested macaques. Then they waited. "At first," said Phillips, "the lead male got a stone and started bashing the H out of it. Another thing they were interested in was in defecating and urinating all over the keyboard, added Phillips, who runs the university's Institute of Digital Arts and Technologies, end of quote. Men laboring under the power of the deceivableness of unrighteousness will always embrace the lie, no matter how ridiculous. For example, according to the theory of evolution, there was nothing, then there was a big bang, and here we are. This is a demonstration of reprobate minds. Finally, concerning time and chance, you'll find the following in the God Said, Man Said feature, Time, Chance, and God Odds. The hero of Darwin is time and chance. But unfortunately for the evolutionists, there is not enough time and not enough chance. Author Ralph O. Muncaster, in his 604-page book, Examine the Evidence, points out some various daunting probabilities to any kind of life that could arrive from chance. A few paragraphs from Examine the Evidence follow. Note, large numbers cited, such as 10 to the 120th power, would be the number 10 followed by 120 zeros. Under the heading, Experts Acknowledge Other Random Origin Problems. Here's what some experts in the field are saying about the probability of the random origin of the very first cell. Marcel Schutzenberger of the University of Paris declared, there is no chance, that's 10 to the negative 1,000 power, to see this mechanism appear spontaneously, and if it did, even less for it to remain. Molecular biologist Harold Morowitz calculated that if every chemical bond were broken in the simplest living cell, the odds of it reassembling under ideal conditions would be 10 to the negative 1 trillion power. Man, that's a big number. Astrophysicist Edward Argyll observes that a simple E. coli bacterium with an information content of about 6 million bits would have required about 10 to the 1,800,000 power cases or states on the early Earth for its inception to incur. That would be the number 10 with 1,800,000 zeros after it. John Horgan stated in a Scientific American article, scientists have argued that given enough time, even apparently miraculous events become possible, such as the emergence of a single-cell organism from random couplings of chemicals. Sir Frederick Hoyle, the British astronomer, has said such an occurrence is about as likely as the assemblage of a 747 by a tornado whirling through a junkyard. Most researchers agree with Hoyle on this point. Gerald Schroeder continues the monkey analogy by stating that the chance of their randomly typing out any sentence at all, only a few words in length, is on the order of 1 to 10 to the 120th power. He goes on to say, randomness just doesn't cut it when it comes to generating meaningful order out of chaos. Direction is required always. The odds with a world of monkeys and typewriters and a universe of time pale in comparison to the odds of just a chirality problem, and the problem becomes far greater when other factors are considered. Noted atheists Carl Sagan and Francis Crick were attempting to build a case for extraterrestrials to gain research funding in that field. In the process, they estimated the difficulty of evolving a human by chance alone at 10 to the power of 2 trillion. This would be in the same range as the estimate of Harold Morowitz. Stephen C. Meyer, who holds a Ph.D. in the history and philosophy of science from Cambridge University, states, while many outside origin of life biology may still invoke chance as a casual explanation for the origin of biological information, few serious researchers still do, end of quote. If man, instead of being created by and in the image of God, was a product of time and chance and the mysterious primordial soup, then the deceivableness of unrighteousness would dictate that belief in a non-existent God evolved in the same way. The headline in the UK's Independent reads, Mysterious chimpanzee behavior could be sacred rituals and show that chimps believe in God. A few sentences from the article follow. New footage shows chimpanzees engaging in bizarre behavior, which might be a form of sacred ritual that could show the beginning of a kind of religious belief. Chimpanzees in West Africa have been spotted banging and throwing rocks against trees and throwing them in the gaps inside, leading to piles of rocks. Those rocks do not appear to be for any functional purpose and might be an example of an early version of ritual behavior. The discovery might help researchers learn more about the basis of human religion and rituals and how such activities formed in our own history. In a piece written about the findings, researcher Laura Kehoe described the experience of watching the chimp look around and then fling a rock at the tree trunk. "Nothing like this has been seen before, and it gave me goosebumps," she wrote. The discovery could offer insights into the way that humanity's sacred rituals began, she wrote. "Making pathways and territories with signposts such as piles of rocks is an important step in human history," wrote Ms. Kehoe, end of quote. God Said, Man Said suggests that these chimpanzees may have a better concept of God than their handlers, but it wasn't time and chance that put it there. One of the signs of doomsday is the deceivableness of unrighteousness. It's here in large proportion. God said, Psalms 19:19, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." God said, Romans 1, verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." God said, Genesis 1, 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." God said, Exodus 20, verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Man said, "These doomsday prophets make me laugh. There is no end to this world and certainly no judgment day." Now you have the record.